Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this blessed season, and we thank you that at it, in this time, we can remember the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that means. We know we'd be lost if he hadn't come. There'd be no salvation, there'd be nothing we could do to ever come close to you as a holy God that you are. And so, Lord, we praise you, we bless you, and we pray now that as we look at these short verses, they speak to us in a deep and meaningful way by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, there's nothing better than being offered a way out, is there? You know, we didn't quite have a crisis the other day, but it was one of these times. We'd just done our Christmas shopping, and I suddenly turned around to Tracy and said, "We haven't got any pickled onions." Now, Tracy can take or leave pickled onions, believe me, she can. But to me, the thought of having all those lovely things that vegetarians like, you know, lovely cheese and stuff, and just a slice of pickled onion with it, it's a crisis. It's an absolute crisis if we don't have that. Well, there was a simple way out, wasn't there? You know, she nipped down to Budgeons and got the necessaries, and, you know, Christmas was saved, at least, you know, the culinary side of it. But, you know, there can be much more serious than that, can't it? You know, the time on Christmas Eve where suddenly you remember that relative, that aunt or someone like that, and you've forgotten to get them anything. And you just know, even if they don't say it, they're going to resent it like mad. Or you've forgotten, you know, it's just something really crucial that you've forgotten for the Christmas dinner. And you know that the family will just not think it's the same without it. And you will feel that they are harbouring a grudge for the rest of the year. Well, to ring up, say, a family member and to have that solved, someone says, "Don't worry, I've got the roast potatoes, I've got the Brussels sprouts." Or, "Hey, no, you can give this as a present." When we get that kind of offer, I don't need to guess too hard to say we take it with both hands. And yet, here we got a passage which I just read where the Lord makes an offer. And Isaiah, the Lord's prophet, goes to the king, King Ahaz. It's a time of crisis. It's a time where you think anything that sort of gave you a hint of a way out you would take. And the king doesn't take it. The king doesn't take it. Seems amazing, doesn't it? We read, don't we? Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." And the magnitude of this offer is incredible, isn't it? Literally, ask me anything. There's no limit to what you can ask for in this crisis you're facing. Just, you know, you may think there's limits, but just for a second, take those shackles of your mind. Ask me anything. Ask me anything. You see, this sign, in a time of crisis when the enemies are knocking on the door or gates of Jerusalem, is a sign of reassurance. It's a major thing, isn't it? And we think Ahaz would jump at that. And then what does he do? Ahaz says, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Oh, that sounds incredibly pious, doesn't it? It sounds wonderful. Yes, did say in Scripture you were not to put the Lord to the test, but I'm hazarding a guess. If the Lord hadn't said, he'd give you anything. Here the Lord's made an offer. Well, you know, I think there's more to Ahaz's false piety. I think it's probably better to call it pride. The pride is saying, "I don't need that." Ahaz was a notorious king. He worshipped false gods. He even sacrificed his own son. And it's basically, he's saying, "Well, I don't need the Lord to intervene for me." So the Lord makes an offer and it's rejected. What's the Lord's response? Well, we might think the Lord would say, "Well, that's it. You're on your own." But the Lord actually does something quite remarkable. He says, now look at what I can do. And we get this remarkable prophecy from Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now that's loaded with poignancy. We tend to think of that verse in applying to Christmas and Christmas things. But I think almost certainly it was a sign for that day as well. Yes, something remarkable was going to happen. The Lord was saying, look what I can do and look at the results of it. If you'd let me do what I would do for you, then you would know my presence. God would truly be with you and with the nation. Well, Ahaz doesn't take that, does he? What's the offer for us? Because, as I said, it's a prophecy and it's one we often wheel out at Christmas services. Well, the offer for us is basically the same. The promise is fulfilled in Matthew. We read that earlier and we saw that that Matthew takes this and says that basically this is a prophecy of Isaiah which was fulfilled. It said that she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save people from their sins. There's a repeat of the offer. That's what Joseph is told will happen. And it's an offer, you see, that is made to us. God saves. He doesn't just save a people. He saves his people. He saves all that he will call to him. He will save all that will turn to him. There's a mistake to make, isn't it? And there's one that we make, or we're so easy of making at Christmas. I kind of been looking on Facebook. I'm always, you want to know the temperature of the place you pastor in, look on Facebook, you'll get it pretty quickly. And we're looking at Christmas, people are consumed with all kinds of stuff. Where do you get the best turkey? Where's the place to do that? Could anyone help me out on this? Where can I get a Christmas tree? Well, I found another baby Jesus painted on a stone. It's made my day. You know, okay, right. You know, you know, we get consumed with trivia. And yet here we've got a tangible offer. God sends Jesus. He sends someone who will save us from our sins. Why? Because we just so desperately need it. As I was saying, you know, I've used it a lot, but it's a good example. Just watch any episode of The Apprentice. When the task is in motion, yeah, it might be a bit of quibbling, but everyone thinks it's fine. Yeah, we're doing a great job. Oh, to find you've lost the task, the backbiting quickly starts. People are blaming each other to save their skin. And, you know, we can say, oh, isn't it terrible? But, you know, that's being over pious because we know we'd do that ourselves. We need a saviour. We're flawed people. The warning is not to make the mistake that Ahaz has made. This sign was going to be given. And this is what Isaiah said. Is it not enough that you try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of God also? Now that's a warning at this Christmas, isn't it? We've been given, just as Ahaz was, the best offer. We've been given a show of God's power, his saving power in forgiving our sin. And the danger is we can reject it. We can get consumed with the festival. We can get consumed with Christmas tree decorations, everything. All stuff that's nice, all stuff that's wonderful, all stuff that makes a great Christmas. But we can miss that Jesus came to save sinners. This is an offer that is made. And we don't know when it will be made again. We don't know when we have the chance to respond. So we just want to remember, if you take one thing away this Christmas, take this. And this is what Jesus is and what is about. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Let's have our last carol.